confirming what is going on. Luis Ortiz under investigation by Major League Baseball, placed on paid leave. Jeff, without going to just into speculation, on
jumping
the rest
into
of that,
conclusions.
It's just interesting because, you know, we sat here this morning. We're like, well, we were going to talk about the Guardians and some of the offseason moves that they had made, and Ortiz felt like it was a good one, you know, especially in the beginning where it didn't feel good when the season started. And then once the season started, man, he turned the corner pretty quick, and you were like, wow, that was a really good move by Chernoff and Antonetti to get that done. It just kind of, as we kind of harken back a little bit on some of the offseason moves that they made, and now that we're at the midway point of the season, it's hard not to say, could they have invested more? And it's hard not to look at Naylor, Josh, and say, why? Why?
Still wonder that, don't you?
Yeah.
I do.
I mean, I think I know why. Because it's more of a clubhouse fit than anything else. I think that's from all the things that we had heard and kind of gathered, I think that's the best way to...
Well, nothing else makes sense, Andy.
Agree. Agree.
Nothing else makes sense.
But it does seem odd to have a clubhouse fit that didn't work.
When your brother's there.
Yes. Like, that's the most difficult part of that, I think, of the story. And we're all sitting here playing Wheel of Regret with Naylor right now. Especially for a team that, you know, you got two guys that are hitting 300 or hovering around 300. And you lose another tough one last night. You're 12.5 back. 12.5 back on the Tigers. That seems like 10,000 miles away.
It does.
The Twins are now technically in second place by a percentage point. The Guardians at 476 with a 40-44 record. Twins at 477 with a 41-45 record. And so, you know, the Royals are right there behind. You're only a game and a half above the Royals for fourth place. And I know it's early to look at some of these things, but I do think it drives your decision-making as you get closer to the trade deadline, as you get closer to the All-Star game, and you ask yourself, all right, what are we doing here, and how does this affect our future, and can the future be now? Because, I don't even know, you know, what does this Ortiz thing do to set back the rotation?
I think he's done a nice job. He looks like a guy... from a baseball standpoint, that you think, okay, they found a guy who's going to be in this rotation for a while. And now we'll see what this investigation is all about and what it leads to and what it means for his future, not just short term, but even long term. You know, who knows what this is about? So let's figure this out and go. In the meantime, Joey Cantillo gets a start. I've wanted to see Joey Cantillo in the rotation for some time. So here's his opportunity. I think Joey's at a make-or-break point for this team. He did really well coming out of the bullpen. They sent him down to stretch him out. He hasn't been stretched out that much. He hasn't thrown a whole lot of innings in Columbus. But he'll get the start tonight, and we'll see what he can do, Andy. Because, you know, if he shows something the rest of this year, or just short-term, he gives them an option. And let's look big picture. Shane Bieber's, you know, rehabbing from the Tommy John surgery. They hope to activate him at some point this year. Well, depending on what's up with Ortiz, if Cantillo can fill a rotation spot, that gives you six starters. Screams trade.
Trade who, though?
That's the question. I truly would look to trade Shane Bieber if Shane doesn't want to pick up his option here for next year.
Yeah, you're kind of where you were a year ago, right? And how many? We spent days talking about what are they going to do? They're going to lose him. They better trade him. They better get some. And then he got hurt. And then you're like, oh, well, this kind of pushes everything off for a while.
I just, to go back to your original point, moves were made this year that I think for the first time in a while, and our organization has done a great job of trading players at the right time, and getting players back who you might not know, but who you eventually come to love. We've seen that happen time and time and time again with this front office. This time they traded players that you knew, and you thought, wow, why did you make that move? You know, you understood why they traded guys in the past. It was pretty clear. The Josh Naylor move is still befuddling. And then to turn around and bring in Carlos Santana, who's done a real solid job. I wouldn't say stunning job, but solid. And to pay him more than the Diamondbacks are paying Josh this year screams there was something else going on there. But I don't think it's helped your offense at all. If I had to pick one bat over the other, I'd take Josh Naylor. I think everybody would. If you would take leadership, well, maybe you'd take Carlos Santana. But Josh also had an energy about him that I thought was infectious.
Agree.
And or contagious, whichever way you want to. Which word do you like better?
Infectious
or contagious?
Infectious.
Okay. I thought he had some juice. Second time I've used that today. I thought he had some juice that rubbed off on the rest of the guys. This team looks flat, Andy. It looks terribly flat. It's not wildly entertaining. I wish it were. You know, last year I thought they played really entertaining baseball. This year it's like, wow, what can you do today, fellas? Anything?
And is this hangover from last year then?
No, it's no, but, no,
it's our just, expectations are all right.
No, you know what it is? It's expectations over a body of work for Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff. And it's a good body of work. I mean, they've consistently put competitive baseball teams on the field. So at least right now, and I think this team is capable of playing better baseball. But right now, Andy, this is not what we're used to seeing out of these guys. And I'm sure that they're sitting there thinking, wait a minute, this isn't what we do. How can we fix it? And I think they are closing in on selling off just about any piece they can to bring in young talent. And they're real close to having me say, and I'm not going to speak for you, they're real close to having me say, that's what they should do.
Let me throw this one at you because I don't think that maybe we've lost a little perspective. Dan, I want your thoughts on this too. They've lost six in a row, right?
Longest losing streak of the season.
Look who they've lost to, though. You know, in that streak that started against the Jays, now in first place in the East. Cubs are, what, first place in the Central? And Cardinals are just a couple games back.
Well, do you want to compete for a playoff spot, or you just want to beat up on the weak teams?
Well, no, I'm just saying, though, are we, again, as I said yesterday, are we not looking at the opposition? I talked about the pitching, but in general, you're getting beat, but you're getting beat by teams that are also having success this season.
All right.
Is that wrong? Is that wrong to look at it that way?
It's not wrong, but it's not complete.
In July, I don't know if that's such a problem.
It's not complete. You know why?
Why?
You've watched enough baseball. You know, I know, Dan knows. We can see when guys are overmatched. Guardians hitters have been overmatched. And it hasn't really mattered whether the pitcher has been from a good team or a bad team. They've been overmatched way too often this year. I mean, this team's not producing hitting talent right now. It's that simple. The scary part is, look in the system. Where are those bats going to come from? There are a few names. And we've been harping on those names. Chase DeLauder.
We'll talk about him in a second. But
CJ Cephas. Ralph Velasquez, who's in A-ball. Ralph was a first-round draft choice.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't even mentioned Travis Bezzana, because Travis Bezzana's out with an injury.
We'd be screaming for him right now, wouldn't we?
Well, it depends on what he'd be doing.
If he was hitting. Dan, again, I bring that same kind of argument that I had yesterday about, hey, do you tip your cap to the pitchers they've been seeing? In this scenario, do you tip your cap to this in this losing streak that you're looking at, you know?
Stephen Vogt tips his cap a lot. Have you heard him say that?
Yeah, did you ever see him tip that cat?
He's good for one.
I feel bad for the cat. I really do.
Yeah.
The Cubs are, you know, Cubs are in first place. They got a three-game lead on the Brewers.
Andy likes cats.
It's not that I don't like them. I'm just allergic to them, so they're difficult for me. Blue Jays and Yankees are tied for first in the East. I mean, do we give credit to the teams that are losing to? Is that fair? Can you do that and say, okay, I can kind of understand. Look, we're playing. It's almost like the Cavaliers, right? We said this constantly about the Cavaliers in the beginning of the season when they were having great success. It's like, seems to be like we're running up against these teams at the right time.
But they beat them. But they beat them.
Right, and they beat them, but we also, we got a little bit of luck of the draw. These baseball teams are playing good baseball right now. You with me on this?
So I'm doing quick math.
Yeah.
Nice. Which I know it's my understanding that there is no math on
there
this show.
There is no math on this
show. I know,
show.
But I'm doing my best here. So against the doldrums of like the worst teams in baseball. So I've pulled up the records off of Baseball Reference up here of every opponent that they've gone up against so far. Right.
Right.
So the Orioles, they went 1-2. Yeah, I'd call the Orioles a mess this year.
They are.
So that's one win. So the Athletics, will throw them in there. So that's three wins.
Okay, good.
The White Sox, that's three more wins, so that's six.
Thank goodness for the White Sox.
The Royals, that's four wins, so that's two. I'd put the Royals in the doldrums, right?
Would you guys put them there? We're about to be in the same pool as them because we keep getting a little bit closer.
So that's 12. We should do this in the break. This is not good radio.
Wow, no, it's good. We love hearing you count.
They went 500 against the Angels. They're in the doldrums.
One.
The Twins, maybe you toss the Twins. I don't know if the Twins are totally in the doldrums. They're in the same spot.
They're as us. Really we're in the same pool. We're like, we're in the kiddie pool.
I don't think you can use that one. I don't think it's this stretch that you're in recently is the cause of the trend. I mean, goodness, you were 9-16 in June. You were 14-13 in May. And, you know, it's not like you can really point to anything and go, yes, it's the quality of the opponent that's causing this. Does it have something to do with it? Sure, maybe a smidge, but, like, the fact that you can't hit water if you fell out of a boat has more to do with it than anything.
Let me get here. Does Chase DeLauder do anything for you? If they bring him up, do you feel like all of a sudden, wow, this is great? This weekend's going to be more than just fireworks on Friday night. Man, this is going to be, I feel like the turn is coming for a team that has lost six in a row. Ouch. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.